Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a five-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 323. It's just me. It's a solo episode. I'm by myself. I'm in my apartment recording this. I just took a nap. I had a nice little dinner, and I decided that I was going to do an episode. There's technically a lost episode out there that it's not out there. It should be in my recycle bin. I recorded one on Sunday, and as I was going to upload, I was like, I don't know if I want to release that one. I don't want anything to get misinterpreted. So I just feel like I said some things that I was just like, I don't know if that might have been a little too clumsy. So I'm just going to release one, because all my other friends put out podcasts this week, and I'm like, I don't want to be left behind. All these other guys are dropping podcasts left and right with the millions and billions of podcasts that you'd listen to and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to enter my hat into the fray. I'm going to enter in the fray, throw my hat in the race or something. I'm uploading a podcast this week. That was my alarm that went off to make sure that I woke up. So I just decided that I would do one. This will be a quick one, because I have an actual conversation with someone that I'm excited to talk to, and I will be sharing that with you very soon. So I'm working for you guys. And plus, if you're a Patreon subscriber, I appreciate you so much. There's two that I uploaded. I uploaded two over the weekend. I uploaded a Creed episode with just Randolph, Terrence, and myself discussing Creed and stuff. And then I did a joint episode with my good buddy, Paul Verzi. We did like his podcast is called The Verzi Effect. And we did like a joint Patreon episode. So there's a Patreon episode of Paul and I shooting the shit after a weekend of doing five shows. And we recorded that after we hung out and had food at around maybe like 2 a.m. So that's how dedicated I am to you guys. You might say, oh, Chris, you uploaded the podcast a couple days late. But hey, you know, nobody said that, because there's only four of you that listen. But the four of you that listen, I appreciate it. And that's why you're getting an episode. I'm giving you guys an episode. Anyway, so last week was pretty cool. I had an audition that I did really well. I killed it. I did not get the part, but it was one of it was one of the best. You know, like sometimes when it goes a little too smooth, you think like, I killed this. The rest of you guys can just go home, because I'm going to be playing the role of parking attendant, you know. But this character actually had a name, Kevin, and I played characters with names before in my TV film career, but this would have been really cool. Didn't get it, but I went in the room and I was probably the most comfortable that I've ever been. And the casting director was nice. She read with me. There's a woman on the camera, and it was fucking great. And I do the audition. I was the first one up. Oh my God, Chris, that was great. Thanks for coming. I was like, oh, thanks for having me. And they were like, no. Thank you for coming. And so I go home, you know, go home, and you know, I'm like, felt good, you know, one of those things. And I got a call about 2 hours, less than 2 hours later, saying that they liked you. They're sending your stuff to the network. Then a couple days later, I found out that I didn't get it. They just went another way, whatever. But it was nice. That was my first time reading for that particular casting director. And it was cool to make an impression like that. But, you know, that's so it goes. That's how it happens in this career that I've chosen. Nay, I say the career that chose me as an actor, comedian, and podcaster. So that was that. And got to work with my good buddy Paul Verzi at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. That was really cool. It was fun. Like I hadn't gotten up in a little over a week, and I was kind of antsy. And the first show was just a two-hander. I did about a half hour, and Verzi closed it out by doing an hour. And it was fun. It was like a good, I would say, and I've said this before, that the Stress Factory is one of my favorite clubs to perform at on one of the favorite clubs that I perform at. But the only caveat, well, there's a couple. The one thing is, when you're doing a full weekend, and I work all day, and I work all the way in Westchester, so I had to drive like almost 2 hours to get there, and it was in traffic. Friday is brutal. Saturday's not so bad, because it's just, you're just coming from my house. It takes about an hour for me to get there. But anyway, that's just logistics stuff. And you have to pay for parking, and that sucks. You have to pay for parking in New Brunswick, because that's where Rutgers University is, the main campus, and it's the downtown area, so it's always busy. There's like shops and restaurants. And at one time, I think that they used to validate parking, but the manager of the club was telling me that there were like five or six guys that were running a scam, and they would take people's money and they would like pocket it. And so then those dudes got busted, and then they had to serve like 6 years in prison, and they only made like $6,000. And that's like really like a sad way to go to prison, where it's just like you're going away for 6 years just for that. You know, what's this Cohen guy is going away for 3. And he did way worse shit. So, but that's, so it goes. The justice system, guys, right? So they don't validate anymore. And you had to pay for parking, you know? And, but it was cool though, because it was my first full official weekend of working there. In the past, I'd worked there just doing guest spots, doing weekly produced shows and stuff like that. A few times a year, and Craig Robinson, shout out, name drop. Did you drop something, Chris? Yeah, I dropped the name. I know the guy. He's nice to me. We're not BFFs, but he was very kind enough. Like a couple years ago, when I was headlining a big show, and he let me work out in front of his audience, which was dope as hell. And so I drove down and all that jazz. Yeah, so that was really great. Want to shout out to Kyler Murray, quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners, who won the Heisman Trophy. Hashtag Black Quarterbacks. It seems like he might go to the NFL though, not the NFL. He might go to the MLB. Might play in the majors. Because I haven't watched college football in years. Like, I just kind of know, I'm like, when I say the periphery, I don't even know that I'm on the periphery anymore when it comes to college football. But I saw that he had won, and I texted the homie, Michael Felder of the Stadium Network and host of the Emerge, co-host of Emerge on the channel, on the Stadium Network. And I was like, hey, can this kid play in the NFL? And he's like, yeah, but he's better off playing in the major leagues. He's like the next, possibly the next Ken Griffey Jr. Like, he's like in that Mike Trout, Bryce Harper mold, where he's just like a all around great athlete, and he's gonna be good in baseball, and it's probably, it'll be more lucrative for him. He could play longer, and he won't have brain damage when he's 35. So, you know, that's a good move for him. And he got in trouble. Somebody surfaced. They somehow there were some tweets, some homophobic tweets that came out. Somebody dug up, really. And I think he called some of his friends queer. It's homophobic. It falls under that problematic umbrella. I'll get to that in a bit. But like, I just read something on it. He said he called his friends queer. Most people have said worse, and he apologized for it like a G. He was like 15, 16 years old, and he said that, and he apologized for it. Hold on a second, guys. Which was stand up with something, and then so I didn't know that had happened until I actually talked about it on the Lost episode, and then you had the Kevin Hart thing that showed up, came up. What I'll say about this Kevin Hart thing and homophobia, I would say that we just have to evolve as people. Like, there's things that I've said and done in my life that I'm not proud of. I think nobody's perfect. But the gay stuff, there's people getting beat up and killed for this shit, for that type of language being used, you know, like to make fun of people that are, to make fun of people who are marginalized like that is just not, it's not smart, because it perpetuates the negative and violent behavior towards these people. And so we have to evolve. And if you're going to, and a lot of these jokes and stuff, and I don't know that they say that they're jokes, so let's call them quote unquote jokes. There is one, like, and my friends have talked about this shit. I've listened to my good friends who have podcasts and talk about it, and they spoke on it very, very eloquently. And I would just say, like, just to add my own two cents is you have to evolve. Yeah. And I'm disappointed in some of the people that I respect as veteran comedians who just don't seem to get it. You know, it's easy for them to obviously call people out when they say racist stuff. But there are black people who are gay. You know what I mean? And they get affected by this shit. So it's better to just try to evolve and be better people and upgrade your iOS. A lot of you nerds have iPhones and stuff. I'm an Android user. Nobody's paying us to really be in that schism, Android versus Apple. But anyway, I'm digressing. But yeah, just update your shit, man. You can't do that shit anymore. You can't do the, just like you, the way people don't say nigger. It's like you can't call people faggots anymore. You can't do that shit, cause it's not right. I sound like I'm guys, come on, it's not right. And I think most of the people that listen to this podcast, I would assume that I'm speaking to the choir, but it's just, you know, like, and even Rod said this, like, if Kevin Hart hosts this thing, he's going to be introducing like movies like Disobedience, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Boy Erased. There's another film, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, like another LGBTQ themed film. And, you know, like all those movies that came out, all these people that put their lifeblood into these projects. And then you're going to like just be awkward about how you handled responding to the backlash over those tweets, regardless of how old they are. And then you had Nick Cannon bringing up, these white people said it. Yeah, they're white, and black people are judged harsher in everything that we do, and we're held accountable to more than white people, and we know that. That's just show business is a microcosm of a larger society. So if you're black in show business, yeah, you're most likely going to be treated differently. So that basically goes without saying. And there's a comic who is in the gay community, Solomon Giorgio, who I think had one of the best. I'm going to fuck up his. You know what? I'm not going to fuck it up because I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look for his tweet. Look for his tweet. He said something really, really profound. And I'm going to try to find it. He said something, probably like the best take on it that I saw. And I'm doing a little soft shoe trying to find it. Okay, this is what he said. Solomon Giorgio, he said, two things can be true at the same time. Kevin Hart needed to properly apologize for his long list of past homophobic remarks. That was number one. Number two, black celebrities are more harshly scrutinized than their white counterparts. One doesn't cancel out the other. It's just the same thing. It's like the Cosby thing. Well, white people rape. How come we can't rape like they rape? You know what I mean? How can I want to be a shitty person just like this white guy. Why can't I just be a shitty person like this dude and not get in trouble for it? Or get it? You know what I mean? That's not about the evolution. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I hope people use that as a learning. I hope people use this as a time to learn about this shit, because it's a lot of people holding on to that. It's a lot of people holding on to that shit. Like, I don't know. Be nice to each other. Have empathy. And I've said this hundreds of times on the show, where you have to have empathy for other people. If you're a minority in this country, if you're black, especially if you're black in this country and you feel some kind of way when people say offhanded remarks, these microaggressions, obviously the things that, you know, that really hurt us, like Black Lives Matter, and not Black Lives Matter doesn't hurt us, but police brutality, hate crimes, all this stuff, you have to have some kind of empathy towards people in the LGBTQ community that are being mistreated. I don't get why people can't make that comparison, but you know, whatever. Be nicer to each other, have empathy. I'd like to see more puppy videos now on my timeline. That's what I'd like to see more of. There was one puppy video of this little puppy and some person who was like a gardener, and they were telling the puppy where to dig, and it was adorable. And the puppy would dig up a little spot so the gardener guy, his owner, could plant the little plant. It was cute. It's somewhere, I don't know, you can look for it. It's somewhere on the timeline, on Twitter, on the internet, like a little more adorable puppy shit, because the world's too fucked up. And there was an episode of Murphy Brown where one of the characters was trying to get Murphy to adopt a puppy. And she went into a puppy shelter or whatever, and she was going to get one of the puppies. And then they had this one puppy that didn't have the use of its back legs, and so she had to take that puppy because it was so, you know, adorable and sad that he was on the puppy wheelchair. I don't know. It was cute. Even the white girl that was. The white girl that was dancing in front of Marcy Projects. I know black people were mad, like woke Twitter was mad about that, but that shit was funny. That's the same girl that was dancing somewhere at the beach, and she was and it was like at an ice cream shop, and then the black dude, like, she danced into the ice cream shop, and then the black dude was like, that was working there, was like, all right, it's pretty good. You know, like that, and that's the same chick that was dancing in front of Marcy Projects, and somebody said on Twitter that every time she waves her hand, the rent goes up. You know, it's like about her. It's like a gentrification dance, and people were mad. People were mad about it, but it's like, hey, these rappers. Jay-Z talked about Marcy for so long, man. People want to visit that shit like it's a landmark, and it is for some people. So they look, you know. Oh, that shit was so funny. Yeah, I'm trying to think of there were other funny videos that I was thinking about there's one where there's an Asian woman. I think it's somewhere, it's in some Asian country. Where this woman, it's in an Asian country. There's a woman trying on a necklace, and she tries the necklace on. And as soon as she tries it on, she runs to the end of the store like she's about to steal it. But she just goes to another mirror, and it just shows a reaction of the salesperson like jumping over the glass case or running after her and then trying to act like they weren't chasing her. I thought that was funny. I think that's on my timeline. I believe that I did. I'm gonna start to retweet that shit and favorite stuff so people go, yeah, I put it on there. It's like from four or five days ago. There's another cute puppy poster of it's not a post, it's just a picture. It says please help lost dog, and it's a picture of the dog, and then down the steps is like a picture of the dog looking from around the corner. It's the same dog, but it's like so. And then somebody put like Gone Girl 2014, like it's like Gone Girl, but the dog. It's funny as shit. Come on, guys. Yeah, let's have more stuff. Oh, and another one. Yeah, this is like, yeah, I think around all like last week was so shitty that I just started like the stuff that makes me laugh. I'm just going to acknowledge it and favorite the tweet so other people can see it. There's this poster. There's Mark Jackson basketball card from the early 90s, and it's an NBA Hoops basketball card. And this is a tweet from John Rosenberger. And this is all on my Twitter timeline. This guy says, Reddit is mostly bad, but the other day I learned on that website that the Menendez brothers are in the background of this basketball card, and that logistically, this would be between when they killed their parents and when they were arrested. I cannot stop thinking about it. That's fucking wild, dude. That's insane. I tried to watch that Law and Order version of that, but I just couldn't get into it. And everybody's telling me now that the assassination of Gianni Versace is really good. And Darren Criss, it looks like that dude's probably going to win some awards, maybe like the Golden Globe and the SAG Award. But yeah, like that. But my thing about that, like it's like $9.99. I could buy it on Amazon Prime. But the minute that I buy it, it's probably going to go to Netflix and I could just see it for free. And I think if I just hold out, maybe I can see it when it just comes out on Netflix, because it's so hard to watch otherwise. And then there's another video of somebody says, this dude says, they said, so it's Asian people singing gospel at a black church, and somebody tweeted, they said y'all niggas stole anime, we gonna steal y'all shit. And they singing gospel just like sounding black. Just sound like a regular black choir. And I just retweeted and said, bet their soul food is good too. Like their fried chicken and stuff. Yeah, man. So, yeah, just be nicer to each other. Have empathy. If you fuck up, apologize. And maybe you can keep your job. And, you know, so it goes. Talked about that stuff. What else do I want to talk about? I beat Spider-Man on PS4. I beat Spider-Man PS4. It's really good. It's a really good game. It's one of the best games that I've played this year. I know God of War won Game of the Year, and I know my homie JL Covan is pissed because there's some glitch, and I don't know if his, I don't know what, I'm assuming he's hooked up to Wi-Fi, but it seemed, but he's the only person that I know of that's had problems with it. And apparently, I guess he looked it up, and there are other people, and he couldn't finish the game. So I don't know what's going on there, but I finished Spider-Man, and it was really fun. I do recommend it if you're a gamer. I can see what all the hype is about. I can see why it's got that universal appeal, while why a lot of the non, like people that are, that never talk about video games were talking about this one, and it was a lot of fun. And they, I've got all the DLC because I paid, I think I paid like 70 or 80 bucks for it, and it, and I can get the new, there's like three DLCs, like three different stories that that you can play. I don't know if I'm going to get into those right away because I want to play Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So that'll be the next game that I play. And the thing that was, I kind of got into a weird YouTube rabbit hole of The Last of Us, because Naughty Dog has been trolling people. They've been specifically, I would just say, trolling people. They've been trolling people like me. So the Video Game Awards were last week, and I didn't even really know that they did this. I mean, I'm not trying to act like I'm not a nerd. I am a nerd, but I just didn't know that they had this Video Game Awards thing. And so people are talking about it, and they're like, oh, well, because the only, my only real in, because those of you that listen to this show on a regular basis know that I'm just sort of like the guy that's like, oh, NBA 2K, the new 2K is coming out. I'm going to get that. Then maybe it's like that platform game that's really popular, that's a third-person game like a Tomb Raider or a God, like God of War, because another comic was telling me about it, Uncharted comics were telling me to get that. But for the most part, it's like basketball and Tomb Raider, and maybe like your every other year they have a game that, like, since The Last of Us, they, the really since The Last of Us, so that was 2013. I beat it in early 2014, right in time for the Left Behind joint to come out. And it was really, like, and that since then, so since 3 years ago, it's really just been Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn, I dug in Uncharted. It was a good story. I loved 4, it was beautiful. I dug it. I'm just biased towards Lara Croft because that's just, you know, she's Lara Croft. But Uncharted was good. 4 was dope. But yeah, it's really just been Horizon Zero Dawn, and everything else is just taking up space until The Last of Us Part 2 comes out. So this is what The Last of Us Part 2, this is what Naughty Dog does. So they make these announcements, and I kind of follow some of these YouTubers who make these videos and their predictions. They have their predictions, they have their theories about The Last of Us. These people are just hardcore, and thank God for these nerds on YouTube, because that's how you kind of, that's how you stay abreast of all these important things, like when video games are coming out. And they come out with, The Last of Us drops, shit, I keep saying this, Naughty Dog comes out with a video that says, oh, thank you for, you know, all of your support, and we're releasing this video, like a reaction to, from their video that they released, a trailer. They released a trailer for the announcing The Last of Us Part 2 in 2016, and people went ape shit. And it, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I got a little emotional when I was watching it. It was, I didn't cry, but you know how you get those goosebumps, like they show when you see, like, I don't know, I got emotional, I got goosebumps. I was watching it on my phone. I was like, oh man, that's dope. That's, I'm, what's gonna happen? they're doing this for a reason. Because we just had, like, every year, it's like in, I think, September or October. When is it? National, like, let me look this up. So the mic is going to be away from me. The Last of Us National Outbreak Day. Outbreak Day. In the world of The Last of Us, September 26 marks the day the Cordyceps fungus hits critical mass. It is known as Outbreak Day. Since 2013, Naughty Dog has used Outbreak Day as a way to celebrate our incredible community by releasing new and exclusive items, content, and special promotions. So, September 26th of every year, they have Outbreak Day, and they release, like, wallpaper themes and little, all this little stuff to, you know, for the game and promoting the game and all this stuff. So, that happened, and it went, and I bought the... They had like a really cool, I've talked about this shit before, but like this really cool interactive wallpaper where it's like a 19-year-old, an old Ellie, a grown-up Ellie with a rifle, and it looks beautiful. And I recently got like a new TV, and I watched that 11-minute trailer, and it just looks amazing. It looks incredible. Anyway. So I'm like, what's going on? And they said, okay, we're not doing Paris Games Week. It's a yearly thing. Like they said they're not doing it. It's a thing that they normally would do every year. And I guess it's mainly because Sony doesn't have anything of note to show. If they did, they would just be showing like, hey, these games that we told you about 2 years ago are coming out, you know, but they didn't have anything new to show. And it's like, why are you guys trolling us with this video? What's going on? And so I just kind of went down a rabbit hole of just looking at videos from The Last of Us. And it was just, and just getting excited for anything, for this, for probably nothing. And I think I just have it in my head because I've heard these YouTube nerds talk about it, that it's going to come out Mother's Day 2019, because we are going to find out, we're supposedly supposed to find out about Ellie's mother. And this, just me just blabbing about this game, has turned the two female listeners that listen to this thing off. They probably turned it off by now. So now, fellas, the rest of this I'll talk about, but no, it's just that's what I'm super excited about. Also, gonna do some more. Gonna play the DLC with the Spider-Man. Gonna get into Tomb Raider. Maybe this weekend. We'll see. And just still waiting for The Last of Us Part 2. And I bought some Ta-Nehisi Coates. I also have been on a Ta-Nehisi Coates YouTube rabbit hole, wormhole, just been like listening to him talking to these other brainiacs about stuff, and it's really good. And I've been slipping on reading his stuff, so I bought the three of his books from Barnes and Noble. So you might hear me when I'm talking to somebody, if I'm doing a podcast, well, Ta-Nehisi Coates says this, like, I'll be like trying to act smart.
Well, actually, I think what Ta-Nehisi Coates had said, that I think that, you know, people need to blah, 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 blah.
And the more that I listen to this dude talk, man, I think he's great. I think he's a genius. I think he's a necessary voice in our society. He's, you know, he's a great thinker and all this stuff, but he's also like tethered to the earth, and he's down to earth. He's not like condescending about the stuff that he knows, and he, you know, which I really self-deprecate. And I really like that dude. Where was I going with that? I like him. Ta-Nehisi Coates. I like the guy. I endorse him. What was I going to say? There was one video where he was doing a talk, and then they did a Q&A after, And then he, then some kid asked him, like probably a kid was like 9 or 10 years old, and he said, "Oh, what if you had a super? If you were a superhero, what power would you have?" And he was just real honest with the with the kid. He was just like, "You know what? Nothing given to you. Nothing like that is free." So he's like, I wouldn't want to have a superpower. He just told the kid. He didn't play along, but he answered the kid like the kid was just a normal person and he wasn't a dick. He wasn't dismissive of this kid. I just like the fact that he answered that kid in that way. And it reminded me of me. God, I sound like an asshole. But it did remind me of me when I used to teach at the theater camp when I was in Chicago. Like I used to like teach these kids, and I treated them like little people. Like I was respectful. I wasn't like an asshole to them, but I was just honest to them. I was like, "Hey, look, you guys gotta learn your lines so we can have a good show. Your parents spent the most money," because this was a camp. Like the Skokie Park District was a suburban camp and stuff. Like they had these camps, but most of them were outside, and the kids would be outside all day. Our kids got to go outside and play and eat lunch for like an hour or so, and then you get back to work because it was a specialty camp. I think they had a circus camp or like some type of gymnastics camp, but our program, Summer on Broadway, was the best camp in the Park District. Let's like don't, you know, shout out to the Devonshire Cultural Center, you know what I'm saying? And it was really cool, and parents spent a lot of money for their kids to go there, go to that camp, because they were inside, they had AC, I think all the kids got to go swimming every week, but you know, it was a specialty camp. And they got some of the most talented people working there, myself included. Well, and it was great. And I just treated them like adults. And I remember saying, who was big that at the time? It was Hillary Duff. So this is like, I'm dating myself. I'm 38. Hillary Duff at the time was popular. And I think I remember one time I was like, "Do you think that Hillary Duff doesn't have to learn her lines?" No, she has to learn her lines, and she has to be at set. She has to be on set on time. She has to be professional, you know. And they would listen. And I think one time I was like, I told one kid who was kind of acting up, and I said, "Look, man," I pulled him aside. I was like, "Look, man, you know you're talented, dude, but with great power comes great responsibility." I gave him the Spider-Man. I gave him the Uncle Ben Spider-Man speech, and he got his shit together. You know, I just treated him like normal. I did not condescend. I did not talk down to them. You know, that was some of the best times of my life working at that camp. The best job I ever had. Gosh darn it. I talk about it every time. If there was a drinking game, I've said this before, and me saying that if there was a drinking game should be part of the drinking game, I haven't said it that much but recently, but that would be one of them. To like, if every time I talk about theater camp, I could you could drink, and then you would get really trashed. Was I going to say something about... I was trying to think if I was going to say, yeah, just watch a lot of Ta-Nehisi Coates videos, going to read his books. I need to read more. That's one of my resolutions of 2019, to read more. Like, I need to get back into that. And I guess maybe because I just spent so much of my life in through like childhood into adulthood, just being bombarded with books. And then for some reason, I just kind of came out of it. And like, I would read in grad school, we'd be reading scripts and we'd be reading all this stuff. And I think I got burnt out around 25. And I've read stuff, but not as voraciously as I used to be, you know? So I definitely want to do that. I feel like this year, this past year, because this December is a year of reflection, you know, a month of reflection. And you think about, because it's the last month, and you think about stuff. And although I think this is overall has been a pretty good year, there's shit that I need to work on. You know, less cheeseburgers, more reading, more working out. Yeah. I wanted to be more, do more things, show up for people. I think I did that. I still got to do more of that. I've been kind of like on the, I've been kind of regressing in that regard a little bit, but I think for good reasons. I have, because sometimes you don't want to be, I went to a party, a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go. And then I went, and like I made myself, if I've said this before, sorry, but you know, whatever. But I think it's important to say it again, though. I got invited to a party, and I was like, I need to go to this. There'll be cool people there, people I haven't seen in a while. I should go. And it was on a Friday night, and the night before, I went to the liquor store, the wine store, and I bought some wine because I know my friend likes wine. And I got her some wine, and I said, okay, I bought this wine, and I got to deliver it to my friend on Friday. So I'm not going to be an asshole. I'm going to go to the party, and I did it, and it was great. I ended up having an awesome time. Being social, yay. So yeah, man, read more, less cheeseburgers, exercise, show up for people, all that good stuff. Let's see what else. Music, been liking the Anderson .Paak, Ne-Yo. I told you about Ne-Yo before. Saturn, I've been listening to that. I like the S.G. Lewis, his new stuff, which I saw the other, maybe a day or two ago, this singer that I was like praising all last year, this kid named Gallant from the Maryland, D.C. area, I believe. Somebody tweeted him and was like, hey, what's up with a new album? And he was like, yo, you got to talk to my label. I got three albums on my laptop. And I was like, whoa. All right. So I want to hear more from that dude. You know, he's great. One of the best Tiny Desk shows, definitely high replay value. My favorite Tiny Desks, I would say, Gallant, Leanne LaHavis, Foreign Exchange, obviously. Who else? Who else was good? T-Pain, surprisingly good. Shout out to Arielle Lieti. She told me about that one. I did watch that one, and that was actually really good. Mac Miller, rest in peace, was good. Tyler, the Creators, was good. Some of the new ones I need to check out. Tuxedo, Mayor Hawthorne, and Jake One. Mayor Hawthorne and Jake One. 'Cause you're hotter than July, darling, don't you know that I thought I had it all, then I found you. Woo. Sorry about that. I had to get that out. They've got this song, the last record on Tuxedo 2 is this song called July, and that's probably like one of my favorite songs of the year. I don't know if that song came out, if that album came out, Tuxedo, did it come out this year or last year? Tuxedo. Let's see. Well, within the last couple of years, music. I'm trying to see when this came out. Oh, did this come out in 2015? Really? Ooh, I am not cool. That song is 3 years old? No. Is it? Let me see. Going to this discography. No, okay. 2017. Well, okay. March 24th, 2017. Okay. Yeah, it's really good. They got some good jams. They're kind of like the Chromeo vibe. Yeah, they're really good. I dig it. They're like Jake One produced a really good. Jake One. I'm gonna try to find. He produced this one of my favorite Elzai songs. This song called "Glow," really dope record that he did with Elzai and Jake One. "Glow." That's a good record. You can look that up. Trying to think other music, because now that I have Tidal, I can listen to more stuff. So I was listening to Oxnard on the way home today. Trying to see what else I have saved. I really like Moonchild. I've told you guys about Moonchild. I think Questlove tweeted about them, and I've been a fan ever since. Nice, mellow, jazzy stuff. And the lead singer, Amber Navran, has an EP called Speak Up, and that's good. I'm trying to see. Everybody was posting their I guess the artists I follow, they were posting their how many streams they got, but that was a Tidal thing. Obviously, Black Thought, Streams of Thought Volume 2 was great. That was cool. I made myself a playlist for just the Streams of Thought albums, and it's like 40 minutes. You just combined and made it like one album. This dude named Jacob Banks, who, shout out to Aaron Hunley, friend of the podcast. She had tweeted something or Facebooked something about this dude, and I think some of his stuff has been on TV shows. One of his singles, "Chain Smoking," is the record that I think is like the most popular. You might know him from something. He's got another album called The Paradox. Yeah, this is really cool. So I like Jacob Banks. His new joint is called Village. Earl Sweatshirt, I gotta listen to that. Nice title. Some rap songs. Earl Sweatshirt. Damo Genesis has an EP, Facade Records. Big Pooh, RPM, obviously. Oh, last weekend. There's a Patreon episode of Rod and I talking about If Beale Street Could Talk. And on my way down, going into the city, it was like Saturday night. I was driving in, and I lost my Jason Weaver Love Ambition CD, and it's probably somewhere lost in my apartment or somewhere in my car. But I was like, I got another copy. I maybe paid like $14. I bought a used copy from Amazon or some used one of those like sellers from Amazon or whatever. And man, I was vibing out to that, man. I don't need to talk about this, the king of R&B. I don't know who this Jacquees kid is. But I'm going to be on my old guy soapbox. Not necessarily going to say Jason Weaver's the king of R&B, because I don't know. Every time I listen to Jason Weaver, it's almost like what could have been. But I guess in the early 90s, maybe that came out in like 2020. What the fuck? 1993? 93, 94. I know I was in high school. I was either a freshman or a sophomore. And it just was like the boy groups were kind of dying off, and the single got like Usher was like trying to find his footing, because he really didn't come back. He came like that first album was a little too grown up for him. The self-titled, he was talking about fucking, and he probably did fuck people, fuck girls, but he was just like, you know, he didn't have any facial hair yet, and the subject matter of the songs were like, dude, you look like a zygote, and you're and you're talking about this shit. But he was working with Diddy and I think Mr. Dalvin or somebody. But anyway, and it was just like at a weird moment, and he kind of didn't pop until You Make Me Wanna. Like, so My Way, he kind of, I would say Usher is the king of R&B. It used to be R. Kelly, but he had that throne in the 90s, I would say. But Usher, you know, like maybe you had Bobby Brown, Bobby Brown, R. Kelly, Usher. I don't know about these young guys, because these young good dudes, like, I don't know. Like, the young, they seem like they're trying to rap, and the rappers are trying to sing now. There's a lot of good artists out there. I just don't know these young dudes. But I was vibing out to that Love Ambition album, and it was good, man. It brought back memories. It had some good records. I always wonder what could have been, because he was trying to do what Usher was doing. I think vocally Usher was stronger than Jason Weaver, but I think, I don't even know if you had to, Usher even evolved vocally, I would say. He got better as he got older, but the music that was like that New Jack Swing type thing, you didn't have to go that hard. You didn't have to push yourself vocally because you were dancing too. He had that EP called Stay With Me about like falling in love with his teacher. And then he had a remix. Ah, man. And then the Motown just shelved it. That Jason Weaver is my white whale. I did reach out to him on Instagram and to try to get him on to reach out to see if he would do this podcast. But I don't think I'm not famous enough. I don't have enough followers. And he probably thought I was just some weirdo. It's like, hey, man, should you just do my podcast? So even if he never does this podcast, if I meet him one day, I want to talk to him about that shit. I see all these unsungs that are coming out, but they haven't done Jason Weaver. They did The Boys, and he was on The Boys' unsung, but it was just like one little clip. It was like, yeah, they were great. And that was pretty much it for him. Because they did the last two records. I think it was the last two records on Love Ambition. It was Ordinary Guy, and then there was My Love. And My Love was like on The Boys, their second album, I think. Yeah, man. So, yeah, I really liked that dude, and it brought back memories. I was vibing out. And I don't think I lost my temper as I was driving in New York City traffic in Midtown, where like on the Upper West Side, like just in Columbus Circle, like with people stopping and starting in the middle of the street, or people just double parked. And I didn't lose it. So that soothed the savage beast in me. Yeah, it was good times. I will give you a movie review, and we'll just get the hell out of here after this movie review. I saw Vox Lux, the new Natalie Portman vehicle, written and directed by Brady Corbett. I'll read you the blurb, read you the Google description. Celeste is a 13-year-old music prodigy who survives a horrific school shooting in Staten Island, New York in 1999. Her talent shines through during the memorial service when she sings a song that touches the hearts of the mourners. Guided by her sister and a talent manager, the young phenom transforms into a rising pop star with a promising future. 18 years later, Celeste now finds herself on the comeback trail when a scandal, personal struggles, and the pitfalls of fame threaten her career. This movie is one of the best films of 2018. I put it right behind If Beale Street Could Talk. I posted a tentative top movie thingy, and I'll probably get into that before we close it out. But Vox Lux was really good. It's just like, it's nothing. I was telling Verzi about this one on last Saturday. I was just saying how He's like, oh, I was like, yeah, it was really good. But I, when I tell somebody like Verzi, just my friends, the friends in my life that aren't movie nerds, that they like movies, but they're not like, oh, I got to go see Vox Lux. I explained it to him like nothing crazy happened. There was some graphic stuff as far as like the shooting is concerned. The first 10 minutes of the film is just like, maybe that's the first, maybe the first, yeah, first 10 minutes of the film are just like, holy shit. And just the way that this, the story unfolds, it's a slice of life. It's a character study. This is probably the best Natalie Portman's been since, I would say, Black Swan. Although I thought she was good in Jackie, I just thought Jackie was more like, I don't know, it's just like you look like her, you kind of, you sound like her, but the film is, itself is kind of boring. Like, she rocked it, and she didn't get any, she didn't win because she had won before and whatnot, so it was just kind of like, you know, it was just like, the movie just wasn't, wasn't memorable, I would say. Her performance, like, she was good. She was good, but it was just like this one, there was like, it was funny, it was kind of sad, and the narration, they have Willem Dafoe is the narrator of this film, and it just added so much more color to the movie, just added more, it fleshed things out more, so you had more insight into a character. It's almost as if you were reading a book and watching a movie about this particular character at the same time. It was like you have that, I guess maybe it opens up, it gives the character more, how do I want to say it? I have it in my brain what I think I want to say. It just provides more insight into the character, and you can either choose to have empathy or say, oh, I kind of get that. You can be like, oh, I kind of get that, why she acts the way she is. And she's kind of an asshole also. And yeah, it's really good. I dug this movie. I recommend seeing it. I think right now it's only opened in New York and L.A. And my nerdy ass got up after doing two shows on Friday night. I, for some reason, found myself awake at 8 a.m., awake at a reasonable time to go into the city and see, go to a 10 o'clock screening. And it was worth it. It was worth the trip of going into the city. But if you're not a nerd like me, this movie will probably be open. You know, it'll open eventually in wide release, like at least by January, I'm assuming, when, I don't know if she'll get nominated. The Golden Globes, those nominations came out, the SAG Awards and all that stuff came out. Yeah, this is the same dude who's been involved with this crew, Brady Corbett. I first got introduced to him and the people, a lot of his associates, when I saw this movie called Martha, Marcy May, Marlene in 2011, which first really introduced me to Elizabeth Olsen. And I just like the style of I love the style of that movie, how the story was told. I got to go back and watch that one. And possibly there's another film that Brady Corbett did more recently with his partner, Mona Lurch. This movie called, where is that movie? Don't Do This to Me. He was in this movie called Simon Killer that was pretty wild. It's like kind of weird and dark. Simon Killer. Antonio Campos is another dude that's like, that's good and like makes interesting shit. He did a film called After School that was pretty good. Solid. He directed Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Did he? Did he direct Christine? So just these really interesting character studies No, Sean Durkin directed Martha, Marcy May, Marlene. Yeah, it's like these crew, Campos, Durkin, and Corbett. But let me find who did Simon Killer. Campos did Simon Killer. And I'm going to try to find this other flick here that Brady Corbett did. I watched the trailer. It looked kind of, looked like it was like creepy and weird, like a couple hanging out at a, like a summer home and some crazy shit happens. Like one of them's a psycho, you know, who did, and then somebody did a Funny Games remake. Who did this one? Who did a remake to Funny Games? Michael Henke. Did he do the remake or he just did an American version? See, now I'm in another rabbit hole. This episode has been about rabbit holes. He had a, let's see, had a Last of Us rabbit hole, a Ta-Nehisi Coates rabbit hole, and you got like a Brady Corbett, all these people that are making these movies. I know I could do, I'll find it here. I'll look at his IMDb. Okay. Ooh, excuse me, guys. Where the fuck is it? Vox Lux, he directed. He directed this film called The Childhood of a Leader that's supposed to be interesting and good, but where is this movie? Don't make a fool out of me, you internet. The Sleepwalker. So he didn't direct it. I thought he directed it. He was just in it. Mona Fassbender. It looks like, so his wife, his partner directed it. Okay. He wrote it. He co-wrote it with her. A young couple, Kaya and Andrew, are renovating Kaya's secluded family estate. Their lives are violently disrupted upon the unexpected arrival of Kaya's sister, Christine, and her fiance, Ira. And this dude, Christopher Abbott, that does all these indie movies and stuff, is in it. Okay, and Brady Corbett plays Ira, who's probably like the crazy psycho dude. So yeah, I'm going to, and this was 2014. So if I, the next, I've just kind of been burned on some of these art house movies that I've like bought online. Like not bought, but just like rented. So I'm hoping that, I'm hoping there's a change of pace, but this is like a crazy time of year. It's fun. It's a fun, it's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of year. It's kind of, it's like I've said, it's my, it's been my fantasy football, but then it's just so, there's just not enough time to see all these things. But for the most part, maybe the screeners will come out for this, for the SAG Awards and stuff, but like this week I want to see Into the Spider-Verse. That's been getting great reviews. Everybody's been praising it. Bumblebee is coming out next weekend. I missed the, I initially got a ticket for the early preview, but I had to cancel it because I had to do stand-up comedy. I had to live my dream. Like the people that made Bumblebee are already living their dream, so I have to do mine. So, I mean, whatever. I had to go earn money to support myself, so I couldn't see that fucking movie. But I'm excited to see that. Everybody's going crazy over that. They say that's the best Transformer movie ever made, and that's like the fifth or sixth one. Spider-Verse, The Mule comes out this weekend. So, yeah, super excited to see all these movies, man. And it's great. I'll give you my tentative top five and we'll get the hell out of here. So I got at number five, I got Eighth Grade, Bo Burnham joint. I got Black Panther at number four. Blasphemy. Number three, I got Black Klansman, Spike Lee back young. I talked about Vox Lux. That's my number two. And number one, If Beale Street Could Talk. Yeah, Beale Street. It's just an incredible film. And I know Black Twitter is going to be mad if it doesn't get nominated. It should be. I'm going to be upset, but I don't know, man. Like, it's sometimes with black artists, if they win something a couple years before, they might not get any love again for a while. I don't know. I think it might be, it just might be, I don't know. I got to see what happens with the Oscars. I got to see what happens with the nominations and really parse out who I think. I've been pretty good with my predictions. I would say if you listen to the show, I've been pretty good with my predictions. I've been right most of the time. And if I've been wrong, I'll tell you. When I put this out, some people's like, "Oh, what about Can You Ever Forgive Me? You were in it." And it's kind of like, it is a great movie, but I've never been in this situation before, even though I'm not sound like a fucking asshole, but it's like I'm in the thing, even though it's brief. There's a certain kind of sentimental value that I take to that. So I can't even, I think it's a great movie. I'm surprised that Mario Heller's not getting any love for this film, as in the director's category and stuff like that. But Oscars haven't been announced yet, so the nominations haven't been announced. I think it's a great film. And Richard E. Grant and Melissa McCarthy both got nominated, like I thought they would. So we'll see. But I think that movie's great. Widows is great. But that's just a tentative list. And I don't know if I really do list that much anymore. But I think that I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to have a round table with my unofficial official co-host Jeff Cerulli from Indie Movie Corner and J.L. Covan. I think we're supposed to be doing something, and like talking about movies. Maybe after the Oscars are the nominations come out, and we'll do maybe a year end thing or something. So I'm hoping that we can do that and make that happen and have a little fun prognostication and stuff. I don't know. Okay, folks, that's the end of the pod. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you very much. And I'll talk to you next time. Peace.